Father, we do.
Oh, we receive it. We sit in this place, Father, of being in your presence, of experiencing your deep, abiding peace. For those of us living in anxiety, for those of us that, as Brenda said, are living in a place where the decisions we're about to make, the decisions we're stepping into, seem scary. We have fear. God, in the name of Jesus this morning, we come against the fear that wants to cripple us, the fear that says you can't do this, the fear that says you've never gone there before. This morning, Father, we speak freedom in this place. We claim the blood of Christ over every word that is spoken, every ounce of energy that's exerted here this morning. God, we just believe that your blood covers it all. There is power in the shed blood of Jesus. And we step into that this morning. We claim it. We claim it. We live it. We believe it this morning. And everybody said, amen. All right, you know what happened? Go ahead and have a seat. So grateful. Grateful for this place this morning. Grateful for these moments together with you. Grateful for times together like this where we can look each other in the face and say, you are of high value. You matter to me. You matter to the church. You matter to Jesus. It's these moments together where we build community. We build into each other. These moments together then give us the energy, give us the thoughts. These moments together, friends, are what provide us what we need to be out in the world the rest of the week. So I hope you're leaning in this morning. Worship has been amazing already. I'm so grateful for our team. So we're starting a new series this morning. It is called Sons and Daughters. And like I told you last week, we're doing this mashup sort of learning what it means to follow hard after Jesus as his brother and sister, as the son and daughter of God. But we're also looking at relationships, and we're also looking at what it means to be a godly parent. How do we raise these munchkins we've been given, right? So this past week, we're having a party at my house this afternoon for my parents' 80th birthday. And so, you know, I'm working hard trying to get all the mulching done. I'm so sick of mulching. If you've ever mulched in your life, it is like at some point you just got to be done. So I'm done. But I'm hauling because the dump truck load of mulch just wasn't enough. So I had to get to Lowe's and buy 15 bags of mulch. And then I had to buy another 15 bags. But long story short, I'm driving back from Lowe's, and I don't have a pickup truck, right? I like to call it a truck because it makes me feel manly, but it's actually just an SUV it's a little edge, right? So my back end is like, I'm coming up to the intersection, I'm loaded down, and I try to stop, and I think I stop, and I don't think I'm far into the intersection. So I'm waiting there, and I think all's good, and then this car comes from she was coming from my right. And as she comes around the corner, she's probably 17, 18 years old, she's talking on her phone. And she's got the window up. My window's down because it's 90 degrees, but I've got my window down so I can hear what she's saying. And she turns the corner and she said, "Dude, why are you so far in my space?" I pity the poor soul on the other end of the phone. But I had a moment there where I could have responded rather negatively, but instead I just smiled and said, "Gene, act your age." And she's still a young squirt. She's still acting her age. That question shouldn't be. We're in church. Why would you ask me how old I am? It's a fair question. Have you ever had someone say, "Act your age"? Act your age. I'll bet every one of us has. Raise your hand if someone has said to you, "Act your age." Yep, most of us, right? Sometimes we say that to our kids. They're just acting their age, and we want them to act older than they are. We don't want them to act their age because it's annoying. They're being, you know, they need to be, like, acting differently. It's good for us as parents to bring correction. But sometimes we shame our kids by saying, "Act your age." when in fact they are acting their age. They just need you to come alongside them and guide them a little bit, right? Sometimes, maybe they don't say it, but people look at us as adults and go, act your age, right? Sometimes, some of us, we're 30, God forbid we're 60, and we're still acting like we're 18. Well, we ought to act our age, right? We ought to step into the place that God has called us to live in. So, frankly, you know what? When you're 16, whenever you're young, you want to be old. And then when you're old, you want to be young. It's this conundrum we find ourselves in. I like the way the Apostle Paul, after writing all about love, in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "But when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put those childish things away." See, I believe the world and all of creation is waiting for you and I to step into the places God has called us to step into. The place where we assume the burden. The place where we carry our share of the responsibility and don't continue riding along in the coattails of the people that have gone on before us. See, one of these days, we're not going to just be 6 months into Restore Church. One of these days, we're going to be a church that's been here in Goshen for many, many years. I will be gone. You will still be here, some of you. You will be here impacting this great community with the love of Jesus, expressing the grace and mercy of Jesus to our neighborhoods. You'll still be doing it. And people will look at this place and say, "But for Restore Church, my life would not have gone the direction it did. But for the people of Restore Church who have given themselves, who have invested in the work, who have served the kids, who have served our community, we would not be the same. Shame on us if in 20 years the people of Restore have not made an impact in this community. But I'm believing that we will. I'm believing that all of you are going to continue to step into places of responsibility, carrying the load, this place of broad shoulders and strong arms. That's what we must do. That's what we must do in the middle of a hot, chaotic summer. We've got to keep our heads screwed on straight. We've got to act our age and step into the places God has called us to step into. See, summer's here, and I love that it's here. I love summer. But isn't it true that in all of life, not just this summer, not just the moment we're in right now, we always want to bring our best. We always want to be the best we can possibly be. I mean, you're here this morning, right? And I'm going to assume that since you're here, you want to be here. I'm also going to assume that by now you know that this theater is filled with ordinary people committed to doing extraordinary things. We want to know Christ. We want to experience the mighty power of the resurrection. Not just the divine supernatural resurrection, but in our everyday life, we want to live with resurrection power. We want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. I read that this week as I was preparing, and I thought, Paul's crazy. I don't want to share in his sufferings. For real? And then I read further. I believe that when we identify with the suffering of Christ, we are so one with Christ when we think about and live into this place of suffering with him. Our identification is complete with him. That we live a resurrected, Christ-empowered life because of that identification with him. We want death to the former things of our lives. And we want in this newness of life so that one way or another we will experience the resurrection from the dead. See, if our old life is dead and buried and we're empowered by the incorruptible seed that Marlon talked about to us about last week, if we're empowered by the Spirit of God in us, we're covered by the shed blood of Jesus, then we will walk in the power supplied by Christ's resurrection life. Here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. So many of us don't yet walk in this place of power and anointing. So many of us are not grasping the significance of living in this place where we really believe that our life is different because of the shed blood of Jesus. We don't get that our place is in Christ and He in us. But guess what? He looks at us. He looks at us and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened down with the anxieties of life, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me. You are mine already. You're my sons. You're my daughters. You're my child." See, our identity as children, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, I believe it's paramount to our ability to excel at anything else and everything else in this life. Because it's our awareness of our true spiritual identity that informs every other aspect of life. So this morning I would ask you, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children." And that is what we are. Galatians 3:26, Paul writes, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So do you see, this is not so much a transaction of one life for another as it is a relationship. It is love given and love received. Of love given when we were still closed up and refusing it, yet Christ came, yet Christ died for you and I. How simple, friends. How simple is the way of Jesus that leads us into peace and power? And how unforgiving is the way of the world? How unforgiving is the way of the world that always directs our steps right back into misery? As we step into the way of Jesus, the way of love and joy and peace, our challenge is to see what is already true about we and our Father. Because when we see differently, when we see through the lens of Jesus, when we see through the eyes of the Spirit, then we see a massive shift in how we are being in this world. See, in your old way of thinking, you think in terms of roles, right? A role you play. So maybe you're a musician, a writer, a poet. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you're a factory worker. Maybe you would say you're a mom. And a dad. Maybe you're a Baptist or a Methodist. Or maybe you're just identifying as an American. Have you ever built sandcastles on the beach? When you build a sandcastle, what do you expect? Do you expect that sandcastle to stay there forever? Of course not. You know the tide is coming in. And when the tide comes in, guess what happens? That sandcastle gets washed away. The same is true for our roles that we play here in life. Remember, we've been talking about this. This physical being is for a moment. We're all rotting and decaying as we stand and sit here. It's all going away. But the spiritual being is forever. The spiritual being is what we're talking about here that will last forever. We attach ourselves to these roles they're so important to us. They give us status, they give us significance. And when we lean into being a mom and dad, very important roles to play. But still a role that we play, not who we truly are. They're just roles we play, like you're in a movie. They're not who we are. Rather, we are the eternal son and daughter of our good King and Savior. We are complete through and in Jesus. See, your Father is the King of this kingdom called heaven, now within and among us. Let me remind you that eternity is right now. It is not in some far off distant place. Eternity begins right now. When we say yes to Jesus, we're living in eternity right now. And we must act our age because of that. Right? We must step into this place where we are mature and believing that God has got everything good for us. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. When Jesus spoke of his Father this way, he employed the language of a little child. And it was the most, that word Abba is the most intimate word for Father. So in the Greek language, it's like he would have said, Father, Father. Some teachers would say he was saying, Daddy. He said this to the people in his hearing that day, the Jewish people who were so offended by this word. They were living in fear to even write the name of God for fear of his judgment. And here, Jesus comes along and models this level of intimacy that had never been heard of, never been experienced before. Abba, Father. So, guys, can there be any doubt? Can there be any doubt that your true identity is that you are the son and daughter of the Father? See, when we think of sons and servants, we think of two things. We think of one being they're very different from each other. The distinction would be that the son has all the rights of the father. See, when you are the son of God, you also have his authority with you. The authority of the father is with you. It is one of inheritance and ownership, as opposed to the servant who does not have inheritance, does not have ownership. We too have far more authority than what we can think or imagine. The problem for us is when we don't live into that place of authority. When we deny the power of the cross, let me rephrase that. When we deny who we are, sons and daughters of God, we deny the power of the cross and the blood that was shed for us. Only when we believe that we are truly children of God will we be able to follow the way of Jesus. This is especially true, and I'm not going to elaborate on this, but you think about this. This is especially true when it comes to your relationships, and it's especially true when it comes to your relationship with yourself. How you perceive yourself will inform every other thing in your life. When you identify yourself as a child of your true father, you will rest in perfect comfort because you have found your true identity. This physical life, with all its roles and responsibilities, often keeps us in a place of anxiety. And we forget that this is just a temporal experience, a temporary existence. Paul writes in Romans 8, he writes, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. I love this word. The Passion Translation says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, waiting for the children of God to be revealed. Waiting for the children of God to be unveiled. Can you imagine? All of creation stands on their tiptoes, looking down, looking and seeing who will be revealed as the children of God. The Greek word here used for unveiling, interestingly enough, is the same word that's used for the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, this word of unveiling is, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's apocalypsis. The created universe is but a backdrop. When you think about this, it's just a backdrop. Everything we're in right now, this universe that we're in, it's a backdrop for the dramatic appearing of God's sons and daughters. When we're unveiled, when we step into this place of knowing Jesus, when the veiling comes off, there is great celebration. The verb text in the Greek, or the verb tense in the Greek text, is real clear that this unveiling is imminent. It is soon to happen and destined to take place. Christ's glory will come to us, enter us, fill us, envelop us, and then be revealed through us as partakers of the glory. Imagine that. Isaiah 42 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. But see, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. I'm announcing that to you this morning, friends. That's a word of prophecy for somebody here this morning, that this new thing is happening in you. This new thing is happening in you. You are partakers. We are partakers of the glory because we no longer are another. We are now one with Christ. The Holy Spirit resides in us. Through faith in Christ, we become one with Christ. And we share in his glory. So how does all this translate for parenting and family dynamics, for work relationships, for neighboring? It translates because we know who we truly are. See, when we live from a place of confidence and not fear, we become exactly who God has created us to be. Even the roles we play in this life will become secondary to our true selves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We will be acutely aware of how then should we live, and how do we live under the microscope of people? How do we live under the microscope of our kids? See, I think the days of saying, do as I say and not as I do, are over. If you're prone to swear in traffic, don't be surprised when you hear a stressed out teen do the same thing. If you bend the truth in a phone conversation, don't be surprised when your son is elusive about the details of Saturday night. When we forget about our position as beloved sons and daughters of the Father, when we lose our way and act irresponsibly, when our judgment is off, we lack self-discipline. Guys, people are watching, and our kids see us. It's hard to teach delayed gratification and wise choices when we parents really don't do it ourselves. See, what we say can't hold a candle to what we do. Wayne Rice, in his book Cleared for Takeoff, says the good news is that you can have a huge impact on the life of your kids and community by reinforcing what you want them to learn. Your basic beliefs and values, the true nature of our character, will be clearly communicated to your kids every day by the way you live. Now that's a heavy burden, isn't it? And sometimes we feel ill-equipped to carry it out, unless we're clear about our position as sons and daughters, unless we're clear about the power of God working within us to equip us for every good work. Remember, God is the only perfect parent. We're not going for perfection here. Now, I'm sure Brenda thinks that I'm like the model husband, right? I'm sure of that. But when you look it up in Webster says that's just a small imitation, so I don't know. Being an imitation, though, isn't all bad. It's a reflection of God and the roles we're in. Being who God created us to be is pretty awesome. Now, I know that life and parenting is really hard. Mistakes and failures are part of it. Look, I'm a parent. I know. Hurtful words come out of our mouths. We have uncontrolled anger sometimes. But you know what? Apologize. Admit you're wrong. And this too is modeling. This too is modeling. It's showing what it means to live as a son of the daughter and a daughter of God. What a relief it is to your kids to learn that mom and dad aren't perfect. What a relief it is to your kids to learn that they too, when they screw it up, can ask for forgiveness because they've seen you do it. Parents, don't disqualify yourself because of your mistakes. That's the work of the enemy that would keep you in defeat and misery. What I want for you is to step into the authority that you've been given. Kids will push and they will argue and they won't listen the way you want them to listen. But you can bet they're watching. They're watching to see how you'll respond. So I'm encouraging you to take a hold of the adulthood that you're in, because this is the primary way your kids will learn what it means to be an adult, to act their age. So what if we fall short? What if mistakes are made, words are said? What if we sin? 1 John 2, 1 to 6 reads like this. It says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, who covers our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that if we know him, if we obey his commandments." See, if someone says, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That can be a hard word, but yet it can also be very encouraging. It can be a hard word, but it can be very encouraging, because here we are in a place of big difficulty. Like, it is hard to be a parent. It's hard to be the person that everyone looks to for direction and guidance. But we always have a choice. We always have a choice, don't we, how we're going to handle those moments. We can either back away from God or run to him. I suggest we run to him, because he's the only one that can free us from our sin. See, God is not sitting up there with a scorecard in one hand and a lightning bolt in the other, waiting for us to mess it up again. He is not waiting for us to do that. He is a father. He is a good, good father who is waiting for his sons and daughters to come home. To come home. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Again, in the Greek word for creation here is katesis, and this is like the best word ever. It's like making something new is not like fixing it, right? It's not fixing something that was broken. This word here for creation means that it's like it's creating something brand new. We're being created brand new. We think we're a mess. We think we've failed as parents. And yet God looks on us and he says, I'm gonna make you brand new. I'm gonna make you brand new. You are a new creation. A new creation, like you've never existed before. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let us get a hold of that and not live under the condemnation of past failures, but let us step into the new places that he has brought us to. Two things that I fear most when it comes to us. One is that we come here and our lives are never changed. And the second one is that we come here and we think our lives have been changed. And yet we're not living into this place where we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. My role for you is not to be the answer man. My role for you, I believe, is to lead and guide this church. And I will do that to the best of my ability. But then the rest of it, baby, it's on your shoulders. You need to be in this word. You need to open the Bible. If you don't open the Bible, if you don't read the word of God for yourself, you will not walk in the place of peace and joy. You will not walk in the place of power. You will continue to be weak. You will continue to struggle to overcome the lies of the enemy. Paul writes, 2 Timothy 3, he says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So get your nose in the Bible. Read the word and be fully equipped for all good works. So act our age? Yes, indeed. But this doesn't need to have a negative connotation. Instead, we're going to lean into the heritage that is ours as sons and daughters of God. brothers and sisters of King Jesus. Colossians 2:10 says, in him you have been made complete. You lack nothing. You have everything you need. As sons and daughters, we are empowered with a beautiful, beautiful presence of God's Spirit, giving us the unction. I love that word, unction. No one uses the word anymore. It means to feel deeply, with deep emotion. We want to live our lives with great unction, to be the best we can be in every circumstance, whether it's parenting, neighboring, working, or playing. Wherever we are, there we are. We might as well bring our very best to every circumstance. The truth is that the impact of being in Christ and He in us is you can't get your hands around that. The impact we can have when we know who we are, everyone and everything around us gets better. Amen to that? Amen. All right, stand with me if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every parent in this place this morning. Every person going into a hot factory tomorrow morning, every place we step into where chaos and difficulty can be part of our circumstances. It's all hard work. There's nothing easy about this narrow path that we're on. The path of life, the path of grace. This place where we step into tomorrow may be a place, could be a place, will be a place of tremendous blessing as we bring our very best, as we lean into who you say we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are filled with your strength, with your presence. We believe, Jesus, that you have come that we might have life, that we might have it abundantly, that we no longer have to be in a place of slavery and oppression. In fact, this morning I speak against the enemy who wants to keep us oppressed, keep us in depression, wants to keep us enslaved in those places that we say we just aren't good enough. We just can't do it. May we never deny the work of the cross. May we always step into our lives believing that the blood of Jesus covers every sin. The blood of Jesus who was shed on the cross is the blood that empowers us to live our lives. To live our lives victoriously. To live in a place where we no longer are weak. We no longer are in a place where we don't feel like healing is within our grasp. This morning we speak transformation and healing and restoration over everybody in this room this morning. God, may your presence continue to minister to us, and may we, as your people, be the change in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in this community. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen.